We live in the dairy state, and that means we're more or less surrounded by amazing Wisconsin cheese. But even so, it can be easy to get stuck in a Swiss or a cheddar or a Colby rut.
So for American Cheese Month, we asked a former Wisconsinite and current cheese writer to join us to talk about what to try next time you're in the market for new, exciting cheese options made in Wisconsin.
Tanaya Darlington is with us. She teaches writing at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia and writes about cheese professionally, including on her blog. When she's in cheese mode, she goes by the name Madame Fromage. Tanaya, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So a lot of people love cheese, myself included, but not everybody makes it part of their vocation in life. So what is it about cheese that first made you fall in love with it?
Well, honestly, it was living in the state of Wisconsin for 10 years. I lived in Madison. And just being surrounded by great cheese producers and, of course, going to the Dane County Farmers Market and being able to buy cheese directly from cheesemakers was exciting. I ended up leaving Madison to take a teaching job in Philadelphia back in 2005, and the first thing I did was seek out, like, the best local cheese shop and strive to meet local cheesemakers. And I really realized that Wisconsin was a special place because I feel like there, you know, people know about Wisconsin cheese, and a lot of people know their own cheesemakers. We're here, you know, it's still kind of a new thing.
Well, one thing I'm curious about, I mean, you lived here for 10 years, and this is a few years ago now, but was artisanal cheese always such a big thing in Wisconsin, or is it something, are we in sort of the midst of a cheese renaissance right now?
We are in the midst of a cheese renaissance. And it's funny you should ask, because when I lived in Madison, I worked at Isthmus newspaper working for the food section, and Odessa Piper at L'Etoile, who's kind of a legendary chef figure there, really took me under her wing. I was in my late 20s and just kind of getting started in journalism, and she pulled me into her kitchen one day and just said, hey, you really need to pay attention to what's happening in artisan cheese. Things are about to get really interesting. And a few weeks later, she had me in to try some Upland's Pleasant Ridge Reserve, which is now one of the most decorated cheeses in America from Wisconsin. And I remember she was trying that cheese with Mike Gingrich, and they were trying to figure out how long to age it. And I look back on that as kind of a seminal moment, because she was the one who really told me this is going to be a thing. And sure enough, I mean, now we're at a point in our history when there are more artisan cheesemakers than ever before, and there's crops of young people going into the industry, and it's really exciting. You're seeing all kinds of entrepreneurial cheese models out there. And it was not like that, you know, say 15, 20 years ago.
So you have some perspective now. You moved from Wisconsin to Philadelphia. Does it still seem like Wisconsin has a corner on the artisanal cheese market?
Depends where you're standing. When I first moved out here, I went to the best local cheese shop, and I asked for Upland's Pleasant Ridge Reserve. And the cheesemonger, you know, kind of batted his eyes for a minute, and he just said, who are you? How do you know about that cheese? And I said, oh, I'm from Wisconsin. And I said, do you have it? And he said, well, of course we have it. He said, but nobody ever asks for that cheese. Now I think, you know, he would beg to differ. And I will say, whenever I tell people I'm from Wisconsin, if they know cheese so often, unless they've been there, they think it's kind of, it's all cheddar and it's all mass production. And I'm always stressing, like, no. If you visit, you know, you meet the great makers at the farmers markets. There's a lot of wonderful cheesemakers there. You know, some of it you see on the East Coast, some of it you don't. I think one of the cool things about artisan cheese is it tends to be, you know, kind of small batch production, and therefore cheesemakers are selling directly to people at markets and not necessarily, you know, reaching beyond the state level or the regional level. So, I mean, one thing I'll say is that I feel like I'm always out here standing up for Wisconsin cheese, and I'm always glad when I see it. But I still feel like there's a little bit of a crusade to be had to show people, hey, great cheese on the East Coast isn't just coming from the Hudson Valley. There are great cheeses coming out of Nebraska, out of Indiana, out of Wisconsin. So I think because Wisconsin's such a huge producer, of course they're always in the news, but I still think that you know, like Willie Lehner, who's such a legend in Madison, I remember walking into a New York City cheese counter Murray's a couple of years ago and seeing his cheeses front and center, and I almost fell over. I just thought, I can't believe this. I used to get to this at the farmer's market. Whenever I go back to Madison, I still seek out Willie Lehner's cheeses, and to see him recognized at Murray's, I mean, he doesn't need that recognition, but to see him out there for me was like this golden moment, like, ah, Wisconsin has arrived.
Well, you mentioned that perception about cheddar, and I guess Wisconsin is, you know, kind of known for its cheddars. And as a mom now, I feel like sometimes, even though I love experimenting with all kinds of different cheeses and buying them and buying too many and then not eating all of them, but we do get sometimes stuck with a cheddar rut in my family, two kids who like cheddar and are still expanding their horizons. So what do you suggest for people, even here in Wisconsin, who might want to break out of that cheddar Swiss Colby rut? Where can we go next?
Sure. Well, first of all, I love some Wisconsin Goudas. In fact, one of my favorite cheeses to return to is Marika Gouda with fenugreek. I don't know if you've ever heard of Marika Penterman. She's Holland's family cheese in Thorp, Wisconsin. And she's from the Netherlands. She came to Wisconsin. She started making Gouda. And she's one of the only people I know who puts fenugreek seeds, it's a traditional preparation, fenugreek seeds into her cheese. And fenugreek has kind of an oaty, nutty, oniony taste to my mind. And it just pairs beautifully with Gouda. It's really savory. It's kind of the way an everything bagel is like better because there are seeds on top. So that for me is like a go-to Wisconsin cheese. I just love Marika's Goudas. And just yesterday, someone passed me a piece of Jeff's Select Gouda. It's another Gouda coming out of Wisconsin. It's really interesting because it's a collaboration between two guys named Jeff, a cheesemaker named Jeff in Wisconsin. He works for Maple Leaf Cheese. And he started sending his Gouda over to Minnesota to a guy named, his name is Jeff Jerkin, at the Caves at Faribault. It's a big sandstone aging facility. And so they collaborate on this cheese. It's made in Wisconsin. It's aged in Minnesota. It's really interesting. It's more savory than a lot of Goudas I've tasted. Really delicious. Great price point. So those are two other cheeses to seek out. The other cool thing that's happening in Madison is that there's a guy named Bill Anderson, a young cheesemaker. He's got a company called Creme de la Coulee, makes all French-style cheeses himself. But he started a Wisconsin cheese club that I began hearing whispers of because he'll do, like, drop-off points around the city of Madison, like at wine stores. People can go and get their wine for the weekend, but then they can also get his cheeses. And he's teamed up with a couple other cheesemakers, Willie Lehner being one of them, and he does these bundles of artisan Wisconsin cheese. So you can essentially get like a Wisconsin cheese CSA, really cool cheeses, and he also just started shipping nationally. So that's a way to like get more cheeses than what you might normally reach for, you know, onto your cheese board because he has a rotating selection. So like to me, that kind of entrepreneurial enthusiasm of a young cheesemaker is exciting. He's trying to figure out how do I, you know, spread the word about my cheese. He's got some unusual French-style cheeses, really, really wonderful. And so instead of just doing the farmer's market route, he started this CSA model that is really taking off.
Oh, those all sound great. Yeah, I think I just happened to try the fenugreek Gouda you mentioned earlier this week, and it was delicious. And I thought, well, I don't know if everyone will be on board with the fenugreek because it is different, but it was delicious cheese.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm not someone who usually likes things in cheese, but I feel like they work so complementary together, the kind of the sweetness of that cheese and then the savoriness of the seeds.
You also mentioned in an email where you were listing a few of your favorites, an award winner, the 2016 World Champion Cheese winner is Amiras Grand Cru Sirchois. I think
Absolutely.
I said it at least close to
you
right.
Did.
But yeah,
tell us
about that one.
That is a fantastic cheese. In fact, I have some at home in my cheese drawer, and I just love to bring it into work. It's a great desk cheese, as I call it. Dirty, it goes with lots of things. I'm actually at work, and I have a whole desk drawer that's like a pantry full of like little pairings that I'll pull out, and I have a wine fridge under my desk where I keep cheese. Grand Cru Sirchois in there right now. Yeah, that's a cheese that has just risen through the ranks and won award after award. It's another, you know, great cheese to seek out, I think, around this time of year because it's so savory. It's great for melting. Like, I love that cheese in any sort of potato dish or over a French onion soup. But it's also just great on its own. It's herbaceous. Got a kind of a nutty sweetness, really complex, but really likable. And that cheese was selected as a world cheese champion out of 3,000 entries. So not just the United States, but the entire world. It's like the best cheese in the world is coming out of Wisconsin.
Nice.
So that, I mean, that's a great honor. And also the American Cheese Society Best of Show winner this year was from Wisconsin. That was a cheese called Little Mountain by Chris Rowley. And I'm told that no one has it because I called around looking for it after he won, but it was made in small amounts, and of course, it just sold out right away. Another really cool Alpine style cheese, like the Emmy Roth Grand Cru.
I want to ask you about the desk cheese thing, because we just had this discussion yesterday with our executive producer, who's married to a man from France, and she said that they have sort of just a cheese bell and put not soft cheese, but you know, sort of your harder cheeses or whatever the designation is there, but beneath a bell, and did not refrigerate them, and therefore the cheese was always at room temperature. You didn't have to wait for it to get to its peak after you took it out of the fridge. Do you do that? It doesn't seem like it's something most Americans do, but I'd be open, you know, to trying that if it's safe.
Right.
What do you think? Do you do that?
Well, I do have a cheese bell. It's on the small side, but I love to use it. It has a marble base, which is really handy because marble stays cool, and so the cheese stays cool, but it's still, you know, kind of room temperature cool. And especially if I have a little softy that I feel like isn't quite ripe, like when you touch it, it's a little too firm, I'll put that in there in the cheese bell and just let it kind of set out overnight or even, you know, a couple of days. And then when you eat it, it's, you know, you can kind of like, it's almost like you have your own little ripening cave. But yeah, I don't see why not. You could definitely keep a little cheese bell in the house. And what a great snack to be able to pass through the kitchen.
It could be dangerous, at least in my house. But.
Well, totally dangerous.
Well, I want to end by a suggestion of yours. You've been combining Alpine cheeses, and you mentioned one of those earlier, with a particular Wisconsin drink. What is that winning combo?
Oh, it is the old-fashioned. And I have to tell you, this was a combination that Mike Gingrich of Uplands Cheese once mentioned when I happened to tour his facility. And I remember thinking, oh, that just seems like, because he's from Wisconsin, of course he's going to have an old-fashioned with his cheese because he makes, you know, the great Alpine style Pleasant Ridge Reserve. But in fact, so I did a cocktail book with my brother who lives there in Madison, and I really got back into the old-fashioned. And one night I had a bunch of Alpine cheeses that I got from the local cheese shop, and I just thought, what the heck, I'm going to try these two together. And it was fascinating because it worked so well. I thought, oh, Mike was really onto something and didn't pay attention. You know, bourbon has, I like to make a bourbon old-fashioned. It has, you know, kind of an earthy quality, but also kind of sweet caramelly notes. And then an old-fashioned also has, like, a good number of shakes of Angostura bitters, which are kind of like your holiday spices. And they just somehow wrap around those nutty, sweet, herbaceous flavor notes in the cheese. And they are glorious together. So that's become my new favorite pairing.
Tanaya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you, Veronica.
Tanaya Darlington teaches writing at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia and writes about cheese professionally, including on her blog. She joined us there to talk about what's new in the Wisconsin cheese world.